Amen. All right, why don't you stand with me this evening and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I couldn't make it a week without digging into 2 Corinthians, but there's one particular verse that didn't spend a lot of time on in our series of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, and look at verse number 7 with me tonight. And it's good to get some of that rain out there, isn't it? I think some of our farmers were turning a little Pentecostal in here. But it's good. God is good. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. One verse tonight, and I'll share why here in just a second. But the Word of God says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." I'll say that again. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Say that one more time with me again. "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Amen. You may be seated tonight. So the message tonight, really the services today, are a little bit different, a flavor, I guess, than typical. But I thought tonight to rehearse a little bit of the provision of God in this work, really in my own life and even beyond that, just to stop and praise the Lord for all that He's already done, and to remind us again, as this is a really important moment in our church's history, but all along we have been walking by what? Faith, and not by sight. And the Lord has provided, and the Lord has acted behind the scenes, His hand of providence watching over us each and every step of the way, and only eternity will tell just all that God has done and His goodness toward us that we don't even know about. If we took the time to stop and to think about everything that God has done, everything, and I'm not going to give you everything tonight that the Lord has done in this church, but just maybe a snippet. If we took time to thank God for everything He's done, we wouldn't have time tonight to finish doing that. So I do want to remind you of a few things. In case you weren't here this morning, there are a couple important pieces of paper that maybe you've seen floating around that you want to get your hands on. The first one is this proposal for the church expansion, A Time to Build. And then the next one is this color rendering sheet here. Make sure you grab one of those to look over and pray over this week. So let me kind of rewind a little bit. As God has brought many new people to the church, especially recently, and I think at times there are those who may come and not really know where this church began, or even beyond that, where it came from. How did we get here right now in this time, this season that we're praying over, talking about, voting on, such a wonderful, exciting decision, but how did we get to this point? And not to go back too far, all right, but I do want to take a few steps back to say that years ago, there was a pastor by the name of Kelly McInerney. Kelly McInerney. Many of you have met Pastor Kelly or maybe even heard him preach. He was on my ordination council. But Pastor Kelly McInerney felt a burden to go to the city of Wilmington and to start a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. And they did. They established a work there, the Bible Baptist Church of Wilmington, Ohio. And they began to meet, maybe similar to us. You start in humble places at times, and for us it was a school cafeteria. For them it was a storefront building, and it was there that the Lord began to grow that ministry and bring people to faith in Christ. And they moved from that storefront to other buildings and eventually purchased a property and built, and now it is a tremendous facilities that they have there, and the Lord has used that greatly. While in that storefront, And I'm not insulting. I'm telling the story how Pastor Ryan would tell the story. A scrawny teenager, all right, walked into that storefront, sat in the very back row, heard the gospel preached, knew his need of salvation, but would not respond. And so after one particular service, sitting all the way in the back row, Pastor Kelly McInerney made, after the service was over, a beeline straight toward Ryan Bevan and talked to him. And Pastor Ryan gave his life to Christ, or rededicated his life at that point in time. And the Lord used that man, Pastor Kelly McInerney, to mentor and to train Pastor Ryan Bevan for the ministry. He surrendered to full-time ministry, began working on staff at BBC Wilmington. And then fast forward a little bit of time, the Lord began to lay on Pastor Ryan's heart to begin a work in a stinky town called Chillicothe, Ohio. And he jokes about the only thing they really knew is that the town stunk. It just stunk really bad. And you know, everybody outside doesn't know why it stinks so bad, but they answered that call, and he and his wife and eight people total began the church in Chillicothe, Lighthouse Baptist Church in Chillicothe. They met originally in a storefront building. It was like an airplane, old airplane hangar there. Right now it's Menards parking lot, okay? But it used to sit right there, and they started there. They were going to meet and have services, and I somewhat recently told the story about how God changed their plans. And instead of meeting in that airplane hangar, they actually couldn't meet because of building code, and they had to do some work. And so the Lord opened up a door at the Christopher Inn in town. And at the time, managed by my father, Eric Woodworth, and also my stepmom, Letha. She's in the nursery serving. She worked there in those hotels as well. And they began using the conference center, and just about every weekend it seemed like me and my brother would set up these chairs in this conference center for some church that was coming in. And we got to run around in the conference center, so we were somewhat okay with it, and we probably set them up and then messed them all up afterwards too. My dad didn't know about that part, but you know, because we would hang out at the hotel, and we would even stay the night at the hotel. It was fun just hanging out at the hotel, and we got to stay in a suite and swim in the pool and the hot tub, and then we'd be staying up late Saturday night, and Sunday morning we'd hear people in the hallway going back to the conference center, and here we are just, you know, because we've stayed up super late the night before, and we're thinking, who are these people in here so early? And it was that church. Eventually, they did get into that old airplane hangar, and then the Lord moved them to another building. Up on the hill across from the hospital, it used to be the First Capital Craft Mall. Now I believe it's an extension. It may be a rehab facility. But they used that building, leased that building for a number of years. It was in that building that I was invited to come to church. And 19 years ago, this past week, pretty awesome the timing of some of this, 19 years ago this past week, I heard the gospel, I understood my need for salvation, and in Sunday school class with about maybe 10 other kids in the room, I called out to the Lord in my heart, and he saved me. I was 15 years old then. The Lord began to do a work in my family. My brothers came to faith in Christ, my sisters, my mom, my dad, my girlfriend at the time. I married her, all right? Cousins, nephews, nieces, friends. The Lord just began an amazing work in my family and just in the circle of people in my life. I would have never imagined going to church camp my senior year that the Lord would begin to call me to ministry. And I was just terrified, honestly. that there is no way I could get up and like talk to people and preach, and there's just, I can't, what about, you know, how's that going to work? And but we walk by faith and not by sight. Surrender to ministry. I was a senior, just graduated high school, and remember, I was saved at 15 years old. By the time I was 20, Pastor Ryan Bevan called me, and he said, hey, we have a position open at the church. And it was kind of a unique time at the church, and the conversation was pretty short. Maybe I expected more of a sentimental moment, you know, like the Lord hath need of thee, you know, whom will go, whom will we send, and you know, here am I. And I remember he called me and said, there's a position open at the church, do you want it or not? And I was like, yes, you know. And I came on staff in October of 2010. Began working on staff in children's ministry and property and grounds, and literally that means whatever is needed at the church, that's what you do. Fast forward a few years, and it seemed like there were sort of a nucleus of people coming from the north down south to the stinky town of Chillicothe. They were a questionable group. At this time, Chillicothe had expanded to two campuses in the city. We had a west campus and a north campus. Chillicothe's pretty wide, spread, you know, pretty far, the square mileage there. And so the Lord was using two campuses in Chillicothe, one church, two campuses, one cause. That was the tagline. And there was this group of people who were coming from Circleville. There's one family, then another family, then another family. And it was like, man, seems like we're just getting a lot of folks from this area that are coming all the way to Chillicothe. And so we just started asking, why all the way down here? Why are you coming down here? And it seemed like the response we continued to get was, we're looking for a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church who's not ashamed of the Word of God, whose preacher preaches the truth, and I believe LBC checked all of those boxes, and Pastor Ryan preached the truth every single week. He's still my favorite preacher, but we just felt like maybe is the Lord doing something in the Circleville area? So we just started to pray. Now, unbeknownst to us, there were other people, some still sitting in this room right now, who are already praying that the Lord would bring a lighthouse-like church to Circleville. So we began to pray. In December of 2013, I took a trip with Pastor Ryan and Pastor Matt Stallings. We actually went to Michigan, God's country, I don't know. We won. We pulled it off. I don't know. They were ranked. Who did you guys? Yeah. Who do SU play us? Franklin University? Is that who? No. I'm just teasing. Come back. Okay. We can joke. I had you. You were on the edge of your seat. I lost you. Okay. Took a trip to Michigan. There was actually a preacher, a ministry up there who had multiple campuses, not just in the same city, but in different cities. And we had prayed about that, the possibility of doing something like that. And so we spent the weekend up there with this preacher as he went from campus to city and preached at, I think it was five different campuses. And these ministries were, I mean, totaling thousands of people between the five locations that they had. And so we began to pray, Lord, is this something that you could do perhaps in Circleville? And I remember on our way back, we were driving through Circleville. We stopped on the side of the road on 23. We got out right as we were about to get out of town. We stopped, we pulled over, we got out, and we prayed, Lord, if you would have us to start a work here, would you just make that plain? Would you reveal that to us? And would you bring the people and bring the need and reveal that to us? And we prayed. That was a Sunday. We had spent all Sunday morning in Michigan, and then we were driving back. We made it back just in time for a Sunday evening service. There's a precious saintly man who just recently passed away by the name of Stanley Lee from Lighthouse Baptist Chillicothe. And we literally pulled into the parking lot, got out and went into the North Campus where the Sunday evening service was, and Brother Stanley met us. He was standing there, almost like he was waiting to tell us something. At the time, he was probably 92 years old and lived to be over 100. He walked up to Pastor Ryan, and he said, "Preacher," without any other... No one knew that we were, what we were doing, why we were there, what we were praying over. No one knew outside of the staff what we were praying for in Circleville and the whole point. And Stanley Lee walks up to Preacher and he says, "Preacher, we need to start a church in Circleville." And we were like, who is telling him this stuff, you know? It seemed like a number of times that would happen. And it was just another sign. And so we did. In March of 2014, we began a Circleville campus of Lighthouse Baptist Church, Chillicothe. Before the first service, we door-knocked every street, every home inside city limits of Circleville. Up until the very last day, the Saturday before, some of y'all remember this, it was pouring down rain, and we were running from house to house, just drenched, and like some of you are soaked right now from being outside, and just drenched, and we're passing out the last flyer, and we started our first service in March of 2014 at Everett's Middle School, and it was a step of faith, and the Lord honored that step of faith. We saw some unique things at Everett's Middle School there. It was fun. I think it built some grit in the people. When you got to show up every Sunday morning and set up church every Sunday morning and tear down church every Sunday morning, like if you don't want to be there, you find a good excuse not to come, right? And it was like I felt like a well-oiled machine after a while. Everybody knew. We didn't have to talk anymore. You grab these chairs, you dolly this, you pack this up, and we were in and out of there, took our signs down like without a trace. You didn't even know we were there, except we broke some stuff. But we paid for all that, okay? And there we were at Everett's Middle School. It was there that we decided to host our first Vacation Bible School. We didn't have a permanent place, but we trusted the Lord and said, "Lord, we're going to pray, we're going to invite, and we're going to trust you to bring the fruit." And so we set up that little cafeteria. We had 50 chairs for VBS. The church at that point, this was June of 2014, we were only a few months old. No idea what to expect. If we would have had 20 kids, we would have been elated and through the roof. There were 50 chairs in that cafeteria. 150 children showed up for that first Vacation Bible School. Absolutely incredible. They were literally stacked on top of each other, two, some three high. It was so hot in the cafeteria. There is no AC in that place, all right? And it was so hot that I believe the sound system began to cut out. It had to have been 90-plus degrees in that auditorium. And I remember singing, and we're singing the VBS songs, and the power just cuts out. It's so hot, and it's just the kids, the lights, and then they come back on, and we keep going. And the next day, we moved to the gymnasium. We had over 200 kids for VBS, with only being in the city for a few months. We don't know where they came from. We didn't just bust these kids in. They're walking from all over the city to come to this place, and we prayed, and we stepped out in faith, and the Lord blessed that step of faith. About a month later, we're looking for maybe a more permanent location. And so we're praying. We had been praying, meeting at Everett's, and the Lord was using that place. We had bounced back and forth from the cafeteria to the gymnasium, and then we found out that there was a school building coming for sale, Court Street Elementary School. We thought, sometimes those things go for pretty cheap. So we prayed. We actually met as a body. Again, still a campus of Lighthouse Chillicothe. So we prayed, we met, and we voted on whether or not to put in a bid. There was going to be an auction. Maybe we'll get this thing for dirt cheap and come into here. And so we prayed as a church. There was a limit that was set. $400,000. Not going to go over $400,000. Can't really go over $400,000. That's financially, that's about all the church can do, $400,000. So we prayed, we agreed, the church voted, unanimous decision. We moved forward, and we went to that auction. I remember Pastor Ryan at that auction. We were standing there. They gave him a piece of paper when he came in. It looked like this. I think he still has the piece of paper, minus this writing on the top. They just handed him a two. They're like, "You're number two." And we're like, "Okay, this is official. Maybe we will get this for cheap." I don't know who else is coming. So we had our number. We gathered around. The city was there. The school board was there. There were a bunch of businessmen who were there. And they announced, okay, there is no minimum bid, as the paper announced. No minimum bid. I'm like, 50 bucks. All right, what can we get? 100, you know, let's do this. They're like, there's no minimum bid, but then the curveball. But the school board has decided they will not accept anything less than, you want to guess the number? $400,000. So I guess the guy was like, we'll start the bidding at $400,000. And everyone's kind of silent. Pastor Ryan goes, so you, this is a preacher, he said, so you won't accept anything less than $400,000. They're like, nope. So we kind of stand there. I'm just glad I wasn't holding the paper, all right? And then he goes, $400,000. We have $400,000. Do we have another bid? Crickets. Chirp, chirp. No other bids. I'm like, please, don't say 401. But if somebody would have said 401,000, we made a commitment, we made a promise, we can't go over that. So waiting, sold $400,000. We're like, yeah! They brought us out, we stood in front of the sign. I was in the paper, y'all. I was right there. I didn't do anything, I was just standing there. Man, what just faith. Lord, if you're going to do this, no other bids. There were a bunch of guys in that room who wanted that property, prime property. They were getting ready to put in like this access road. Maybe you've driven on it a little bit beside Sheets, right beside 23, Walmart's right there, McDonald's right there. This is the location right here. $400,000 sold. We were elated until the next morning when the paper came out, and right beside my picture and preacher, and there was one of our deacons, and then the school board superintendent, there was an article. And look, I'm not getting into